So when you have that mentality going into it, and then on top of that, you layer spousal support and you layer financial preparedness that you come into this game ready to roll up your sleeves, and then you layer coaching and data on top, we're creating a scenario where we just can't, we can't fail.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews with short-term rental investors willing to let you all listen in to their journey into short-term rental investing. As always, our goal is to help you guys walk into this game with your eyes wide open, and I believe one of the best ways to do that is listen and hear from other people that are a few steps ahead of you in the game. And today, we've got one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Jesse Rathier. And I mean, when I say like my favorite people in the world, it's because I never walk away from a conversation with Jesse upset or down. He's just got one of the, he's one of those guys that has the ability to just kind of lift everybody up around him. So Jesse, I'm super excited about this conversation today and letting everybody listen in. So appreciate you joining me.
Thanks, Sean. Happy to be here. Great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, my friend. So we're going to dive in. But before we ever dive in, I always like to let everybody hear your background, what pays the bills, what got you interested in short-term rental investing. Do you have any real estate investing in the past? So let's like rewind the clock a little bit and tell us a little bit about Jesse.
Yeah. So born and raised on the East Coast here in Rhode Island. And I think the journey to short-term rentals started for us in the beginning of my career at 14 years old. In an Italian restaurant, which was hospitality based, very high-end fine dining. So it was really at the young age that I fell in love with not real estate, but hospitality. And back in those days, you know, we used to wine and dine people. We'd wear the tuxedos in the front of the house and the chef hats in the back. And it was really then that I fell in love with hospitality. Now, as we developed throughout college and high school, and we moved on to our careers. There was always interest and so many sound bites on what we could do kind of as a side hustle or a part time. But hospitality, once you're in it, it kind of stays in the DNA. So I had an opportunity after I had graduated college in finance to get into that industry as a distributor, food sales rep, which is where I spent the vast majority of my career up until this point. And where it really started to cross over into real estate was my mother does have 9 doors in the long-term rental space. So had a lot of exposure to that in a parallel world to hospitality. So realized that there was opportunity in the space, but maybe it wasn't the road I wanted to run down. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I had met somebody who's now my wife, and we were kind of looking at getting out of an apartment and into our own first home. And we had discovered that, particularly in our area, and it might be a podcast for another day, but the real estate industry is really unique. And we had struggled finding an agent to kind of take us serious at such a young age. So that's where I cracked the books open, got the test, and became a realtor myself. And everything just kind of snowballed after that. So spent 10 years in the real estate world, in the food distribution world, married a teacher, and then a lot of traveling on the road. So I always knew that we loved to travel. And our travel involved backpacks and tents. And as our family grew, it was tougher to go to a concert in a tent with a Bernese Mountain Dog and kids on the way. So we started getting into kind of the short-term rental space. And with a background in the hospitality and working at these elegant hotels on Block Island in the summer, I had come across this podcast one day and everything just kind of clicked. And I think the rest will be history.
That's awesome. I love it. It's interesting how, one of my favorite books is called Unreasonable Hospitality. And it's about a restaurant where he learned hospitality and he basically became a Michelin star restaurant. And it was, but you know, it's interesting how similar that world is on the high end restaurants, especially into hospitality and customer experience and all that stuff. And it sounds like that's where you really got your very first introduction was in the restaurant business. Made me think about that. And then another one of our great Vodacy members Anthony Fertain. We'll give him a shout out. He's like a he's my Italian he's like a really good Italian chef. So it's not what he does by trade, but it's kind of a hobby. And it made me think when you said it was a high end Italian restaurant. He's got the properties up there in Maine, and so you guys aren't too far away from each other. And so I need to make sure that you guys have some stories to share with an introduction in the Italian food, the food hospitality side of the world.
No shortage of memories and stories to tell in that space, Sean.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, so it's interesting. Also, what got you introduced to kind of the real estate side is, hey, listen, we were interested in this and in our area, not a lot of people were taking us too serious. There wasn't a lot of good options, and kind of got you where you got your license, you go open the books, you got licensed as an agent. And then we started looking into, like you said, your mom has some long-term rentals. Did you guys dive into any other sort of real estate before you got really introduced to the podcast and into interested in short-term rentals?
So we have looked at some long-term rentals and some insurance stays and stuff like that. And nothing really just stuck out to me. You know, there was a memory I had. Actually, I had won a cruise for work, and we were in an Italian restaurant in that cruise. Pasta was homemade. There's fettuccine hanging from the ceiling. And the busboy came over with a bouquet of fresh herbs and spices. And with his scissors, he cut the herbs and spices into the oil plate for the dipping on the table. And that's when it clicked for me that I don't know that I'll ever want to be on the end of the hamster wheel of being in food service hospitality. But my DNA had to take me to a place where I could share an experience with people that deserve to have that caliber of experience that I had when I was sitting as a guest at a table on a cruise ship, and I smelt the fresh rosemary and I tasted the fresh bread. And people work hard, and we wanted a way to be able to provide that service and level of hospitality with also being able to staff it through third parties and being able to enjoy it ourselves.
That's awesome. I love it. And so the journey begins of saying, hey, listen, we really want to, share in these experiences. We want to deliver these experiences, which is, I mean, first and foremost, most people look at this as a real estate game, not the experience game, right? And so you're already looking at it through the right lens of what we're really trying to do with short-term rentals. Real estate is, and properties are kind of a, you know, the byproduct of what we do, if you ask me. It's awesome. It's like where McDonald's says, hey, listen, or Starbucks. It's like, we're not a coffee company. We're not a hamburger company. We're really a real estate company. But those other products are what they're selling to build this massive empire. Kind of short-term rentals are like that for us. We're selling these amazing experiences. The property and the locations can be part of that. But really what it is doing is those experiences and selling and sharing in those experiences with the consumer allows us to fund really quality assets in quality areas. And so you start with the experience in mind. Did you, I know, you know, where we ended up, but walk me through the decision-making process of where we wanted to have some of these properties and what types of these experiences were we were interested in sharing it as a related to trying to find that location?
So for us growing up in a coastal community in Rhode Island, you're really close to, I can get in the car and drive 40 minutes in it, any direction, and just have my eyes on incredible beauty. So for us, as we come away from a home that we live in here in Rhode Island, that's just absolutely incredible, and we're very blessed to have the opportunity to call it home with our family, we knew that when we got outside and into our first experience, it had to have long-range views. So that did a couple of things. First and foremost, it really allowed us to define our path, but it slowed down that process because properties with views don't come available every day.
Yeah.
So that's where I was kind of able to bring some of the experiences I've learned when I did become an agent. And I was able to cross-utilize those into some negotiation patterns up on the rental hunt, which we can go down later as well.
Yeah.
But we knew a couple of things for us was, we didn't want a renovation. We ended up getting a value add property. We wanted a single family home. We ended up with a condo. And we did get the view, and it's second to none, and it's extremely world class. But it was tough to find up there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of patience that goes into that, right? And it can be, it can be a frustrating and long process. I don't ever, I don't ever get a lot and sense a lot of frustration from you, but I know that, it's got to be in there at times where you're like, man, are we ever going to find the right property? Are we ever going to find something right? Because it took a minute before we really landed on one that you were searching for a long time.
Yeah, you're right. So the team, we were underwriting a dozen deals a month. And we identified very early on in the process that the management piece was going to be our Achilles heel. In order for us to be able to be on the back end and creating this experience, we needed to have a team with boots on the ground that was able to deliver the experience for us. So knowing that, we had to go into some areas, luckily, with opportunity that were extremely saturated, which are allowing us to really be able to lean into the extensive networks that are already on the ground there.
Yeah.
And it's really worked out well.
Yeah, awesome. So we got the buy box was the long range view was kind of a non-negotiable. The other stuff was a little bit of a, hey, we can figure out how to make this work. Obviously, these are investments as well. We talked a lot about kind of the experience business and everything else, but we've got to be able to make sure that they make sense financially as well, right? Was your struggle of underwriting 12 properties a month and really looking at all these deals, was it because there weren't really coming available with the actual buy box with the long range views and some of that stuff? Or was it, hey, listen, a lot of these properties aren't underwriting, or was it a combination of both?
I think I was pleasantly surprised at how many more properties underwrote than I thought.
Yeah.
I think where we had to reel in some of our expectations is when we wanted to go through, we wanted to make sure that we had an immersive experience.
Yeah.
So we had to move in a different direction from an acquisition standpoint, knowing that we might be allocating more than our down payment to set up and articulate that experience.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is a mistake that I think a lot of short-term rental investors make, is we don't budget enough on the back end to create these immersive experiences. It's one of the drawbacks, in my opinion, of short-term rental investing, especially if you're going to try to invest at the top of these markets, is you have to make sure that you're budgeting enough on the back end to be able to operate in the top of whatever market you're choosing, right? And a lot of times that is adjusting down the purchase price, because we need to almost buy less property than we can afford so that we have the money and the capital on the back end to bring it to life. And that's what you're referring to right there, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And luckily we're on a lot of the calls, and we had anticipated a lot of the surprises that came up weren't surprises, but they happened. So we came out of we had two acquisitions this year. One we kind of abandoned. It was a value add property. We abandoned it due to that Achilles heel of no local management, and we had deployed the funding into this. And luckily we did, because a lot of surprises came up in the meantime that if we were to do it with maybe different types of financing or a HELOC, and we weren't able to do it with the proceeds from another project, the stress levels might have been a little higher.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's walk through some of those. Would you mind? Is it something we could walk through, and some of the things that happened and some of the things that came up that we, like you said, you know, we hear about them. There still doesn't mean that they're like, it's still a dragon around the corner. I got to fight. Right. Yeah. And it doesn't mean it's always easy.
Yeah. So we, you know, they say daddy won't sell the farm. Well, I sold it. We had a 5-acre property, just beautiful farm. We had the chickens, everything going. And then life happens. So my wife and I were blessed with the opportunity to acquire a legacy family property that is waterfront. So that posed a lot of challenges, buying a second home with such a close geographical proximity to our primary residence.
Yeah.
Where even though being in the real estate industry in the Northeast, we had to reach outside our network to the Vodacy Preferred Partners to help that deal come together, which we're so blessed that it did. So got rid of the farm, come to a legacy property that we were going to kind of do like a micro resort, stay here. And we came through, we did all the foundational canvas for the design team to come in, and we were finalizing some underwriting, like we're going to make it happen. And then, the well went. We were washing the RV, getting ready to go on a camping trip. Well went. Flushed the toilet. We have a pressurized sewer system around a lake. Grinder pump went. So while we weren't surprised, because we see this on a daily basis within the cohort, it's still an emotional experience when it happens.
Yeah.
So planning the 36 months prior to executing and having those funds available for repairs definitely helped. But yeah. Then after we decided to make the lake property our primary residence and deploy those funds in New Hampshire, the surprises just kept coming, and we had so much fun navigating those.
You literally have one of the most positive spins of anybody I know, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things about you, where you said we had so much fun navigating those. My definition of fun, but I love it.
You know, start at the beginning, right? So, you know, we're trained to hire a team, right? And we were up there, we're interviewing realtors. And again, I mean, as young investors, school teacher, food salesman, it was hard for us to get taken seriously. And when we walk into a saturated market, there's a lot of doubt and the bubble has burst and there's a lot of negativity. And coming from a seat of a high level negotiation person that I am, and I think that's one of the strengths that a realtor should bring. We had a lot of trouble. People were just showing us MLS stuff. So the first struggle was, hey, you know, we're going direct to the listing agent. So we started we opened the books again, right? Thus, you know, plug in the laptop. We're on the municipalities. We're driving to the town halls. We're boots on the ground. We're cutting LOIs with listing agents. And, you know, it's a unique experience when you're representing yourself out of state, because there's a lot of research that goes into it. And it was really unique. And I'll give our lender partners a lot of credit. We got an offer accepted out of state with a buyer that was in Italy, with a title company in Rhode Island, a lender in Texas, and the closing happened in Florida. It went off without a hitch, and I had run into the listing agent at a store while we were up there. And she says, man, I've never met you. I don't know how you pulled it off, but what an incredible closing. And it was the smoothest closing she's had in a while.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, and you mentioned too, also the saturation, the market being saturated. And like you said, a lot of negativity, a lot of people not making money in these markets. And we hear this all the time, right? This is something that this is the game right now. We're past the opening phase. We're in the middle game, and the middle game is messy. I always call it the messy middle, right? And it's because what happens is, I always say that middle of those markets is where everybody goes to die, but it's where 80% of the people hang out, right? And so you have 10% kind of bottom of the market, you have 80% in the middle, and you have 10% at the top. And the goal is to figure out what it takes to be at the top of these markets, but the noise and the chatter and everything you hear is in the middle, because that's the population in almost every market, right? And so it can also be hard to continue to, like, you know, you second guess yourself. You start hearing all this stuff. You're like, man, are we making the right move? Are we doing this correctly? Am I seeing this stuff right? Did you go through that as well, where you had a lot of self-doubt and questioning of, because of what you're hearing from the outside?
So I can't say that I did. I think a lot of that's preparing. We built a lot of mental callus, and something that sticks with me to this day is we work through, kind of the seven layers deep and our big why exercise. And a question I always ask myself is, what did the best year of your life look like? And what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? So when you have that mentality going into it, and then on top of that, you layer spousal support and you layer financial preparedness, that you come into this game ready to roll up your sleeves, and then you layer coaching and data on top, we're creating a scenario where we can't fail. Yeah. So it's easy to, bad news is always has the highest ratings, but we dove in from, we found a market with long range views. We also, through some of the technology we use, we found a market that was growing at 6 to 10% of total market revenue annually. So we knew right from the square one, we would have enough skin in the game for a break even property. And then year two, three, and four, it's just going to start, the flywheel is going to start spinning.
Love it. And so when was the closing? You mentioned the smooth closing. got the property, right? So when did the closing happen? And then let's take everybody through kind of what the strategy is right now, because you guys are right in the middle of a peak season in New Hampshire. Tell everybody where the market is. I don't even think we've mentioned New Hampshire a couple of times, but tell everybody a little bit about the market itself.
So we are in the Mount Washington Valley, which everywhere you look, there's a view of Mount Washington, and we are in Bartlett, which is the Conway, North Conway, Attitash area.
Yeah, nice. A ski resort area. Like you've got, and then, I mean, the views, I can't imagine what they're going to be like in person. I've seen the pictures of the views that you have of Mount Washington. It's absolutely stunning. And so I know from, you know, being out in areas that like in the West where we have a lot of long range views, the pictures don't do those views justice usually until you're standing on the porch and looking at them. Right.
Yeah. And it's all things mountain. You can hike, snowshoe, ski, hunt, snowmobile side by side. So there's something literally for everybody there. Which was challenging for us in a sense of how do we really drill down to that target demographic we're setting up for. But yeah, there's something for everybody, and it's just such a beautiful area.
So we kind of did a launch where we're going to launch it as is. You mentioned it's a value add. How much work did you have to do prior to launching, if any? And then what are the plans to bring it to like the full like scale of what you guys are planning on?
Yeah, so we made an offer second week of October. We closed on Halloween, 10/31. So trick or treat, here we go. Keys are in the hand. So we had bought a property fully furnished, and it was, it was a second home. And the realtor had thought that brought value, but to us, we know that brought an extra layer of work. So the first thing we had to do was get the furniture out of there, which presented an amazing opportunity to mend with the community, because we did some Facebook free communities and we just met tremendous friends. So we got the property out of there. We had done some focus groups within our group. What should we do? Should we try to elevate a C property to an A? And talking to the design team, we said, hey, you know, if there's any doubt, let's take it out of the algorithm. And we decided to go full reno. So cabinets, countertops, floors, paint, fixtures, furniture. And being the winter in the Northeast, it is on the side of Thorn Mountain. So we had the opportunity to develop a team that everybody has a memory of being up there. So people were proud to be a part of this. But I mean, the grit of the team, the flooring company's van went off the road on a Sunday. They could have turned around and went back. They got a tow truck. They came up, they did the floor. And now we can say we have a model home in the White Mountains. Right. And we can talk more about the reflective performance based on being a model home in the STR space.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because we launched kind of the model home, and I always kind of throw a little shade on model homes, right? And then, well, because I'm saying, hey, listen, this is kind of where a lot of people have, and then we're even taking it a notch above that. But was the, you know, the competition, do they have model homes? Are you just kind of fitting into the crowd, or do you already have a level above of where kind of the middle of that market is?
So it's really interesting. We're a level above, and it's beautiful, but I will say the property is performing exactly how it's set up to perform, which is not the expectations that we have of performance. So while our booking and occupancy and revenue isn't reflective yet of the renovation, we've gotten tremendous opportunity from arbitrage and management partners that see the opportunity there, and they're all over it, which is nice having a value add, because we were able to negotiate significantly below list and force that appreciation. And now we do have the home, but it's not a set it and forget it. You know, it's performing how it's set up to perform at this time.
And when we, just so that people that are listening, I mean, you and I and the Vodacy community, we kind of know what we're talking about here of what that next step is, but you're really developing, curating an immersive experience through your design that is not employed yet, right? That is not out there yet, right? We're still working that through. We got to get that. That's going to be that next level up to get it to where you want it to be. And that's why, that's what you're referencing, right? They say, hey, listen, we set it up. We know it's peak season. We're waiting 8 to 12 weeks for this stuff anyways. Let's get some revenue coming in. We're getting some nice revenue based on how it's set up. But you know there's another level. And that's what you're referring to, correct?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And so when you said there's kind of something for everybody, and it's a market that makes it, does make it a challenge. Now, a lot of people are like, hey, that's awesome, right? That's great. We love that about markets. However, we always talk about, let's figure out who our target audience is. Let's narrow down the experience. Let's narrow down what we're really offering people. And that can be difficult when you've got a lot of different opportunities and options. And so how did you, and what did you decide to narrow it down to?
So the first thing we did was kind of selfishly, we wanted to go with a direction that we would love to stay up there because it is a lifestyle investment for us. So we're going to make it the most incredible experience that we could possibly ask for. Every waffle maker, every binocular telescope, we want to go up there and just have a blast. And throughout our lives, we've developed the mantra of the power of proximity. And we believe that if we love something and we set it up to share it with the world, we think there's going to be people out there like us that will have to, that they're going to love it too. But then there's the piece that we bring the science and the marketing in, right? So it's attract, convert, retain. And we've found through some data that two bedrooms are the highest rented units in that area. Length of stay is 3 nights. So we decided that, hey, we don't need some of the spa features. We want really quick hits, immersive art, fun things to do. So we know people are coming in to a two bedroom for 3 nights. They're booking 3.7 days in advance. These are last minute trips. We want them to get there and just be like, man, this is incredible. And then we can convert and attract them. And then we can retain them with the experience that, to your point earlier, you just can't catch it on a camera.
No, and it's the conversion when we're talking about our marketing triangle of, where we attract, convert, and then, the retain part of it is on those properties that are those quick hit properties. A lot of times the retention part makes you like people don't realize how important and how big of a deal that is to your bottom line, because when you're able to get a customer that's like, man, this is awesome, and by the like, I'm coming back. Those types of properties, you literally can get somebody come back 2 or 3 times a year because they're like, this is awesome. I'm gonna book this in the next couple months. I'm gonna come back for another 3-day weekend, like a long weekend. And so your retention of customers on those smaller properties, short lead times, last minute type bookings, your retention can catch up really fast. Where on a larger property, you really are probably not seeing a lot of repeat bookings, and the retention's not a big deal to your bottom line for maybe 2 to 3 years down the line. It can be a massive difference 8 to 9 months from now for you on a property like this.
Absolutely. And we've identified that the area that we're in has done a lot of the heavy lifting for us. We are surrounded by high level model homes. But when you walk down the stairs, there's side by side rentals. So you're in the ring with your competition. So we've deployed some QR codes that said, if you booked here, you'd be home by now. Yeah. And you scan it, and we're getting email, everything. They're pulling up the listing, which is beautiful compared to where they're staying. And we're driving a pricing strategy that maybe because a more established listing is already booked, they don't have the ability to utilize the same pricing strategy as us. So we're driving a lot of activity through data, just by being in proximity to some of those more established properties so far.
Love it. When is the full design and that fully immersive design going to be? When are you going to deploy that?
So our goal is to run a hybrid setup on March 2nd. Now, it is a moving target based upon weather, and we have some really cool one-of-a-kind pieces going in. So every time we talk to the design team, it's like a kid on Christmas morning. I mean, this is just stuff that you just don't. So everything's created twice, first up here and then in real life. And we're so fortunate to work with a design team that can harness my energy and just put it to work. But it takes time. Yeah. So we've worked through some renditions. The guys have been amazing, and we're waiting on a couple more pieces, but we're going March 2nd for the hybrid. and the following week for the install and photography, which has brought some exciting challenges in its own, because again, you're dealing with folks that are procuring products from the nation that has undergone a very aggressive winter. And we are really forging the path to the North Mountains for this. So, you know, we're finding install teams, we're finding movers, and it's been really cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I cannot wait to see it. I mean, shout out to Mike Whitfield and his entire team. I know that they're doing a lot of that, working closely with you on that. And it's one of those, it's going to be that next level where you become one of one, right? Like you said, you're in the ring with your competition right now. And there's a lot of really great established model homes in the game. You just did a beautiful remodel and everything looks awesome. And it's a beautiful model home. You're still now one of the other model homes though, right? Now you're going to have this completely different experience, and consumers really like different. They like unique. They like something that they feel like is personalized to them, that doesn't have access to. And it's going to give that extra layer of confidence to the consumer to say, hey, listen, I just need a reason to pay somebody more. I need a reason to book somebody else's property above and beyond all my other options. And that's really, it gets really exciting when that comes out. So super excited to hear that that's going to be, coming out, earlier, kind of, I guess, late winter, early spring. And then we'll launch that. You're still skiing up there until April, right? Are they still doing snow activities through April up in those mountains?
Yeah. There's never really a downtime. Once you get a little bit of a melt, it quiets down, but that's really going to allow us to focus in on our pricing strategy and work with our management team to really get this summer off and running.
You mentioned something else that I love that we didn't really highlight too much, and I just want to make just a little bit more of a exclamation point on it, is the local community and team. And like you said, you had a lot of people that have a tie to that area working on the property, and they now become a little bit of a part of it. Isn't it amazing when you start to work with the local vendors and the local contractors and the local people, how they actually do feel like a bit of an ownership with you? And they're like, they get excited because of the memories they have in the area. We see that a lot. And you mentioned that that's to me a really, really fun aspect of, during the stressful times of setting it up and going through remodels and rehabs and everything else, meeting and working with some amazing people that just feel excited about the project as well.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And, we go and we're trying to create an experience where you can show up and you're going to have like a book with gift cards and get a free breakfast sandwich. And the more people that I meet and the more people that I get to know, they give us like a stack of cards that say, here's an egg and cheese and for the firewood down the road. And we like to let people know we're not there to take from the community. We're there because we love it. We're there because we want to add to it. And we want to bring people together that have the same respect for the area that we do. And everybody up there has been super, super receptive.
Yeah, and it's fun. And it's just infectious. The positivity, the excitement for that. You guys, like you said, it's a lifestyle asset. We love it. We want to have this amazing experience, and we want to share it with other people. We know they're going to. And when you come in, and that's why we're going to an area, the locals feel it and they love it too. They're like, hey, listen, this is, we're here for a reason because we love it so much. It's always exciting to meet and see and hang out with and work with other people that have that same excitement. And a lot of times that's an overlooked aspect of short-term rentals where, overwhelmingly our experience with the locals is they love it. They're like, hey, listen, this is awesome, because they want people that love it as much as they do. Right.
Yeah. And it was interesting. So one of the first bookings we had came from somebody in the community that was born and raised there that came up and they got china, glassware, flatware that we were donating, come and take whatever you want. And when she had come up, she said, we're from the area, but we never really get to vacation where everybody does. So she said, let me know when it's ready. And they came up and they stayed for 3 days. And it was 10 minutes from their house. So people want to, we're creating an experience where we're able to, this property deserves to be shared with the world from both near and far. And the support from a community that has heavy backlash in the STR area has been remarkably incredible.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. And it's fun to hear those types of stories. So, Jesse, as we wrap up, I always like to know, like, you know, doing property number two, doing property number three, as we start to go through this process, you know, lots of lessons learned. You guys have been super immersed into the process, into what's going on. Like you said, half the time you're opening up books and learning new skill sets, and whether it's, you know, negotiating, representing yourself out of state, all those different things. What are some of the things that you wish you knew or you would double down on? Like I always, at the end, I always love to know, like, if you could kind of go back to your younger self and give yourself advice on whether it's successes that you'd like to double down on and never forget, or whether it's mistakes you'd like to avoid or some things you wish you would have done different.
I think for us, I wish I wouldn't have done anything different. I think everything in my life led me to this journey. I think one thing I could have done a better job at is letting go of the reins a little bit. So working with the team has taught me how to approach people in such a way, that you can have a little bit more grace in conversation, you know? So like coming from the hospitality business, everything's direct. So, I mean, just learning how to let go a little bit, let people, run their course for you. And, really, at the end of the day, I think everything came the perfect way it was supposed to be. We were engaged in the process. And if there's one piece of advice that I'm glad that I heeded was, be prepared for the holding costs, be prepared for the well, be prepared for, you know, the extra month or two and a little bit over budget, because when you're getting into stuff, anything can happen.
Yeah, I love that. And it's that conservative approach of saying, hey, listen, you don't need to hit a home run out of the gate and put every ounce that you have on the line, right? You've got to have some in the reserves, because you're going to probably need to tap into it. And so I love that piece of advice as well. Jesse, you know, you're one of my favorite people to talk to. I truly mean that. I really appreciate you coming on. This has been an amazing conversation. You guys that are listening, you always know that we post the properties in the show notes, because I always say success leaves clues. So go check it out. And what I would suggest is save the listing. And in, you know, halfway through March and toward the end of March, when everything's re-upped and relaunched, go check out the difference in what we're talking about, so you can visually see what we're talking about between kind of the model home today to what this immersive experience that Jesse's going to be putting together on this property and launching when that's done. And so you can tell when we have these conversations, we say, this are some of the things that we're giving ourselves an unfair advantage with in how we're differentiating in these markets. It will be a great kind of look at it today, go look at it in March and see the difference, because it'll be the same listing, right? You're not changing management companies or anything else, Jesse, right? You're just going to be updating that listing.
Yeah. We're updating the listing, and we're going through the blueprint 100%. So it's really just kind of blast. And if there's anything I could tell anybody is when it gets tough, just remember it's a fun game and have a lot of fun, because it's a blast.
It is fun. And, you know, I always try to talk about the hard times too, because not everybody does, but it's not all hard times. We have so much fun with this asset class, and it is a lot of fun, especially once these properties start performing for us. And, you know, they can be pretty fun assets to start to build a portfolio around. So Jesse, you're the man. I appreciate this conversation. It's been awesome. And always, always appreciate when you and everybody else is willing to let other people listen in on these conversations like this.
Thank you, everybody. It's nice to be here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. You guys that are listening, you know how much we appreciate you. We know how valuable your time is. We always appreciate you spending it with us. It means a lot. At the end of these episodes, I always ask you two favors. The first one, our goal is to help people walk into this with their eyes wide open, and we don't run ads or sponsorships. So the only way that that happens and grows is if you guys share the show, if you like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. The algorithm will share the show if you don't have anybody directly to share it with. So those things are appreciated. If you have 30 seconds, leave us a review on those platforms as well. And we love reading them and love seeing and hearing your guys' feedback. But the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.